We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You hear the word legacy a ton in sports discussions, in basketball discussions, and normally that is attributed to and dissected about the greats, the Michael Jordans, LeBron James, Kobe Bryants, etc., etc. But each player leaves a legacy within an organization, within a program. And in the context of Michigan men's basketball, sure, I think many will remember Isaiah Livers more so than a C.J. Baird, Sean D. Brown Jr. more so than a Luke Wilson, Mike Smith more so than a Rico Uzuna Harrison. But within the walls of the PDC, all of those young men left a legacy. They made their mark. They will be remembered by those in Michigan basketball. Austin Davis's legacy, it's a really fascinating one. He took a while to play consistently. He never became a big minutes guy. His stats most certainly don't jump off the page. But boy, does he leave an interesting mark on this program for a number of reasons. I mean, first things first, simply just his work ethic and his determination. Austin did not allow a lack of playing time, a lack of opportunity on the floor in games to affect his effort and eventually his leadership. That's why he did eventually become a contributor. And yes, he earned that fifth year. That was not given to him. It was very much earned. Also, you see in Austin and his production down the stretch in his career, that shows you the impact that a player-coach relationship can truly have. How Juwan Howard and the rest of this Michigan staff unlocked Austin's potential is really something to behold. Austin knew his role, and he thrived at it. He improved at it. He propped others up around him in the process, of course, most notably, All-American Hunter Dickinson. And you can't ignore the special connection that Austin had with his hometown of Onset right here in the great state of Michigan. Austin was a role model, and at the same time, he was just like any other native of Onset. All at once, it was really special. Austin's legacy is secure, and it is a pretty darn good one, even if it's not an all-timer. Those types of players, the Austin Davises of the world, they're just as important as the stars on teams like Michigan had just this past season. In big country, well, he was a big reason that Michigan cut down some nets and got all the way to the Elite Eight. We'll talk to Austin Davis. We'll also break down the return of Eli Brooks right here on this week's edition of Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
Hope you're staying warm. Hope you're staying away from the snow. Well, it's not ideal for end of April. I think the biggest bummer for me is that, man, when you see the snow, it's like, okay, let's get ready for that basketball game. Who are the Wolverines got? And, well, we got a ways to wait for that. But in any event, we do have plenty of basketball to talk about. Austin Davis in a little bit, as I promised. But, you know, Austin was somebody who kind of fell under the radar during his Michigan career until that 2019-2020 season, because that was when he really emerged as a real-life member of the rotation, as a contributor. He had some big-time performances, and ultimately, he earned that fifth year. He earned that scholarship for this 2020-2021 season. And I think it's interesting when you compare Austin Davis to who we will talk about here now, and that's Eli Brooks. That's the big news that's come out of the program over the last week, is Eli Brooks will return for that COVID quote-unquote bonus year that any senior in college basketball is being offered for next season. And from an academic standpoint, it's great to see that Eli Brooks will get some master's work. He's already such an articulate, intelligent young man. The community, the university is better with a guy like Eli Brooks in it. But from a basketball perspective, just like Austin Davis kind of fell maybe off the radar, Eli Brooks this time last year wasn't off the radar, but he was under the radar. There was plenty of discussion about, oh, well, you know, Eli can come off the bench. Maybe he could play point guard if, you know, Mike Smith doesn't acclimate as well as he ended up acclimating. I mean, Mike Smith was tremendous and was this team's starting point guard. But Eli Brooks, as we saw this season, it is very difficult to truly measure what he brings to the table. You heard it from Phil Martelli several times during the season, calling Eli Brooks this team's most valuable player, and that made its rounds and made headlines when Eli Brooks got injured in advance of the Big Ten tournament in that season finale against Michigan State. And yeah, you start thinking, boy, that's going to be tough to take if he can't play. Now, he did. He was really good for Michigan throughout the postseason. But I think players like Eli Brooks and like Austin Davis, you talk about legacy. Well, it's easy to look at box scores. It's easy to look at the high-profile guys, and certainly for what's to come. I mean, Michigan coming up this season with six really highly regarded recruits. Of course, there will be plenty of shuffling within the transfer portal. How that will affect Michigan, we don't know. Michigan has largely stayed intact, but you have to imagine there might be an addition or two for this 2021-2022 Michigan men's basketball team. But Eli Brooks and what he brings, I think those are magnified in March, and they are somewhat underrepresented and forgotten these days. April, May, June, because you talk about potential, you talk about upside, and boy, this Michigan program, these six freshmen that are coming in, the returners who are going to come back, the upside, the potential is sky high. I mean, ESPN's Joe Lunardi came out and has Michigan as a two seed in his way, 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 way too early bracket that, of course, I read every single word of because I'm a basketball junkie, but the types of players like Eli, I've said this several times on this podcast, Eli Brooks, yeah, he raises the ceiling of this team because he's a good player, but he raises the floor. And Austin Davis, I think, helped to raise the floor of this team when he was playing as a rotation player. Eli Brooks does all the little things right. You don't have to stress too much about him. He doesn't turn the ball over. He knows where to be. He defends at an elite level. All of that stuff, it's tough to quantify. We're getting better at that, but he's one of those players you just watch and you say, yeah, that's a winning basketball player. That's someone who will help. I'm not going to get into, oh, well, if you could pick one Michigan player, one Michigan senior to come back, who would it be? If you could choose, who would have the most positive impact? I can see value in Mike Smith, Sean D. Brown Jr., and Eli Brooks. I'm taking Isaiah Livers out of this because it was always assumed that this past season was his final go-around. But Eli Brooks does a ton for a team that's going to be younger. This past season, Michigan was a veteran club. It was unique because of the cancellation of the 2020 NCAA tournament. There wasn't a whole lot of postseason experience, but man, Michigan had some dudes who played a ton. They had been through the battles of conference play. They had faced difficult situations. That was a veteran team. There will be experience on this ball club, and there would have been experience had Eli Brooks not come back. But now you have a stabilizing force, because there is a scenario where Michigan starts potentially one fifth-year senior, a sophomore in Hunter Dickinson, and potentially three freshmen. Who knows how it's going to go? Obviously, Brandon Johns Jr. has a lot to say about that, and that's probably the one you just kind of assume he'll be that four, at least on paper he would be right now. But with the talent that Michigan is bringing in, those are going to be real competitions. Terrence Williams II is going to force the hand at times because Juwan Howard talked about it on a podcast here over the last couple of days with Gary Williams and some other former coaches that he said, you know, Terrence Williams is a guy that I would go home and say I wish I would have played him more because he just affects winning, as we heard throughout the past season about Terrence. So long story short, there's a chance that Michigan will start three freshmen, a sophomore, and then Eli Brooks. Well, boy, that stabilizing force, that floor raiser in Eli Brooks is so massive, and his return, again, I'm not saying he's going to come out here and shoot 50% and score 18 points a game. I think he has that potential in him. We saw him become a scorer at times down the stretch this past season. But he is somebody who can help others. And I think more than anything else, he is going to help the young guys on this team acclimate more seamlessly. And if that happens right there, Eli Brooks has made an impact. But then you talk about the defense, the offensive potential, the free throw shooting, the leadership, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he's already a heavy, heavy favorite to be a captain on next year's team because he had earned that during the course of this past season. Really excited about having Eli Brooks. We will have him on the podcast at some point soon, but obviously he's got a lot going on in his world. We do have the former Wolverine now, Austin Davis. Really enjoyed this conversation. Have really loved getting to know this young man over the last few years. A great representative of Onsted, a great representative of the university. He is most certainly a Michigan man. We talk about what happened in his career, what he's up to here leading into the future, and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here's Austin Davis. Great to be joined by a young man who, boy, did he represent himself well in his time with the Michigan Wolverines, and that's Austin Davis. Austin, how you doing, man? I'm sure it's been a little bit different than the grind of the basketball season.
I'm doing very well, Brian. Thanks for having me today. And I really appreciate those kind words. But yeah, no, it's definitely a very different. You know, a little less hectic, a little less running around. But yeah, no, so it's I've been doing very well.
I know you stay pretty busy and you still have some schoolwork to do and you're trying to figure out what is next for you, which we'll ask you in a little bit. But have you had a chance to reflect on not just this season, but your career as a whole? And if you have, I mean, what are the memories that really stand out to you?
You know, that's really hard to even just give you a few. Just the entire experience has been more than I ever could have dreamed of. You know, coming from a small town like Onsted, how I did, it's just winding up in a university like Michigan has just been so incredible and so beyond my dreams that I can't even really begin to put it into words.
This season, just how challenging was it to test every day, to socially distance, to mask, to be away from so many other than your basketball family? I'm sure in the day-to-day grind, you just did it because that was what it required for you to play. But now that you've been able to take a step back and not have those types of requirements, I mean, just how difficult was it?
It was tremendously difficult. You know, I think it required a lot of sacrifice on every single person side, you know, everyone from coaches, players, managers, everybody, you know, to make this season possible. And I think that really as a whole, we did a tremendous job, you know, being diligent with it and not having any slip ups. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was definitely a challenge and we rose to the occasion and did a great job with it.
Yeah, and I mean, it was obviously worth it based on what you and your teammates were able to accomplish, winning a Big Ten regular season championship, getting to the Elite Eight. When did you sense that this team could be special?
You know, I think that we all started to get a little bit of an idea last summer, really when we started to, you know, be able to bring the freshmen onto our Zoom calls that we were having. You know, we were all at home in quarantine. and then, you know, June, July, I forget when we were first able to actually have them come on. But I think that we were just, you know, we all really clicked very well. We're coach says it all the time that we're the most connected team. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I think that the foundation really was laid then, and it just, you know, we continue to build on it and strengthen it every day. You know, leading into the summer workouts and then finally getting to start the season and practice and all those things. I think that we really stuck together and just had, you know, really strong foundational relationships. And I think that was one of the big factors for us.
And it makes sense that somebody like you or an Isaiah or an Eli, that would be not easy, but easier because you know the program, you know the staff, you know the surroundings. But what does it say for guys like Sean D, Mike, the freshman, that they all came in, and you think about, you know, those first two, Sean D and Mike, I mean, they became fan favorites and fans didn't get a chance to see them play live. It's a weird dynamic, but what does it say about them that they were able to acclimate so quickly?
I think that it just speaks directly to their character and their upbringing, and just, you know, they're both, especially Sean D and Mike, but all the freshmen, they're just, everyone are just tremendous people. You know, first and foremost, aside from basketball, you know, they're all very responsible and kind and just very, very good people. And then, you know, on the basketball side of things, they all work tremendously hard. They're all extremely team oriented, you know, and I think that just that combination of factors really came together and allowed them to have such a huge impact on our program. And they just fit right in from day one. And, you know, I love those guys and very thankful for the year I've been able to have with them.
Hunter Dickinson, a guy that I know you kind of took under your wings, and he obviously grew to be such a special player, the Big Ten Freshman of the Year and All-American. But I remember hearing from Coach Howard, from Coach Martelli, from others that, you know, you beat him up pretty good leading up to the season. What was that dynamic like, and how did you see Hunter grow throughout this season?
You know, all those words that I just said about Shawnee and Mike 100% fit with Hunter as well. You know, he came in with the right attitude, the right mindset. You know, he came into work and was always willing to, you know, listen and learn from really anyone. You know, he took as much coaching and not necessarily criticism, but correcting and stuff like that. He took it to heart and really went in with a goal-oriented mindset and tried to fix it. And he's just been an amazing addition to the team and has just been tremendous all year long. You know, I have no doubt that he's going to continue to work and grow, and I'm very excited to see what the future holds for him. He's going to do amazing things.
Let's talk about your career and how you grew. Obviously, the first few years, you didn't get much playing time, but we, you know, a lot of people talked about how you were working hard. It felt like, yeah, it just was a matter of when it would come together, and it certainly did for you over the last couple of seasons. Was there a eureka moment, a point where you just felt, yes, I'm comfortable, I know I can play, I know I can compete, or was it gradual? How did that come to be to where you went from someone who wasn't playing a lot to, I mean, gosh, by the middle stages of last season, two seasons ago now, I mean, you were no doubt a rotation piece and an important one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely a gradual process. I mean, just coming in every day, you know, finding ways to contribute to the team, to make the team better, and in whatever capacity that might be. You know, definitely there were times where that role was, you know, kind of behind the scenes in practice and you know, supporting some of the younger guys and things like that. And I just think that the continued support from all my teammates and all of the coaches, you know, all 5 years has really just built on it and been extremely, extremely helpful in the whole process. And, you know, I just couldn't be more thankful for the people that I've been able to experience it with. They've all really made it possible.
Specifically with the head coach, Juwan Howard. I mean, on paper, it makes sense. You're a big man. He was a big man. Okay, he can impart all of his wisdom on you. But what was it specifically, maybe not so much about his coaching, but about how he approached it, the personal relationship? How did Juwan make you better and get you to a point where, again, I mean, in the NCAA tournament this year, you were making plays all over the place?
You know, I think that that you hit it on the head right there. Personal relationships are huge with Coach. You know, he established it from the first day that he was hired, that, you know, we're a family, and there's always continued support. And he did, him and his entire coaching staff have just continued to push confidence and you know, work with us every single day. And that was the biggest thing. I think that he ignited a sense of confidence in me that, you know, really allowed me to step into that new role the last two seasons. And it's I'm just very thankful for it.
It was special seeing the big time support that you got from your hometown of Onstead, especially when you got a chance to play. What does that all mean to you? I know you've been asked about that a lot, but now the Michigan career is over, and you know now there are no more Michigan games for fans in Onstead to watch you play. But they had so many opportunities, even from afar this year. How do you sum up what that meant to you, and how that did, you know, probably drive you to want to be able to play more?
No, I mean, it's very hard to put into words. Growing up, it's a very tight knit community. Like I've said in the past, I think really everybody in the community has had a hand in one way or another in raising and shaping me. And it's just, it's really just very humbling to be able to go out there and compete and, you know, do some of those things, knowing that I have their support and allowing them to share in that success and experience, even if it's just a small part or a small, you know, bit of it. But it's just an incredible feeling to know that I have that, and something that I'm extremely, extremely thankful for.
You've always struck me as such a humble guy. You deflect attention, you deflect praise, you try to shower it on others. But so was it weird kind of adjusting to being a celebrity, especially up that way? I mean, you know, Austin Davis, that name gets you some oomph in Austin, doesn't it?
Honestly, it's never really felt like it. I think that we're just, you know, I'm so at home here and I'm so comfortable around all of the members of the community, that, you know, it still gets you a little bit when little kids come up and, you know, you've never met them and they know who you are and stuff like that. But I think that it's just a testament to the community and how the values that are held here. I think that being humble and you know, just putting in the work and doing what needs to be done is really a high value here. And I think that has, you know, come to the surface in myself.
It's a unique circumstance, and you kind of have been in this for a couple of years now. In February, early March, you did not know, this is back in 2020, you did not know if you would be able to come back for this past season. And now, obviously, there is an option for any senior to return because of the COVID-19 situation. So take me through the two processes. You dealt with it twice, right? I mean, you had to figure out your future back-to-back years. So why was it such an easy decision? Yeah, no-brainer for last year. And what was it like contemplating, do I come back again? What was that process like?
You know, I think that both years definitely were different, but I think that my and my family's approach to it was pretty similar. You know, I just tried not to focus on it while we were, you know, in the season. You know, we had our goals and what we were, you know, had worked all year for, and we were trying to go accomplish those things. And I don't think that, you know, I had given it a ton of thought at the time. You know, when I last year, I knew in my heart that I love Michigan, and I still love Michigan. And I had, you know, made it one of my goals to be able to come back for that fifth year. And, you know, Coach kind of pulled me aside, before one of our practices. I think it was a few days before senior night last year. And we kind of had that conversation, and, you know, there was no doubt in my mind that, yes, that was my answer. As soon as he asked me 100%, I wanted to come back. I think that this year, you know, I just think that I'm at a little bit different point in my life. I think that I'm ready for the next chapter, and you know, I'm excited to be able to take all the lessons and all the everything that I've learned at the University of Michigan in my time there, and you know, employ it and be able to use it in the next chapter of my life.
So I know you don't have that next chapter completely solidified right now, but give fans an update. Where are you with that right now? What are you contemplating, and what's the status update?
No, absolutely. You know, it's a learning process. You know, not very many people from around, you know, honestly, this kind of area, this area have had the chance, you know, to pursue a professional sports career. So, you know, I'm learning about that every day, and we are we're looking at a lot of options and hopefully potentially going overseas and continuing my career in that capacity at the moment.
And because of your graduate level work, I mean, how much better does it make it for you knowing that it doesn't absolutely have to be basketball? I mean, it seems like that's what you want, and we're going to push like crazy for you to hopefully have that opportunity, but you're not pigeonholed into that. You have a lot of options, and I know you have a lot of expectations for yourself whenever basketball ends, whether that's in a year or in 20 years.
No, absolutely. You know, I've had a tremendous opportunity, you know, being at the university for 5 years to finish my bachelor's as well as master's degrees. So I'm just very thankful for that. And you're right. They definitely give me a lot of options, you know, whenever basketball is over, for myself. And, you know, I'm very thankful for that. And, you know, ready to use those and make that next, that whatever chapter that may be, in the future, you know, the most successful I can make it.
What's unique is that, you know, Juwan Howard has talked about how important those who came before him in his head coaching tenure, and obviously now people like you and Isaiah and Sean D and Mike, how important it'll be that you'll still have some sort of role. I know you had talked to people from previous teams and from your, you know, from your former teammates during the course of seasons. So what do you envision your role and your expectation of helping the 2021-22 Michigan Wolverines and beyond? How can you be a resource for not just Hunter, a guy who you have a relationship with, but maybe the incoming freshman as well?
You know, that's a great question. And I think that's something difficult for me to answer right now. You know, I think that as time rolls on and, you know, things evolve, that I'll be able to find what that role is. And you know, I guarantee that I'll go into it, you know, and try the absolute best I can to help in whatever capacity that may be. You know, I can guarantee that I will, you know, keep in touch and keep those relationships strong with, you know, as everyone that I've been able to work with the last, you know, 5 years and build those relationships and yeah, just really be available and find what that role is.
Well, Austin, it was a pleasure to watch you. It was a pleasure to get to know you here over the last couple of years. This final year remotely with Zoom. Here's hoping the next time you come to Ann Arbor, it's a handshake and it's a chance for you to see a game in person with you know, 12,000 people inside Chrysler as opposed to what we dealt with. We're rooting for you, and we look forward to finding out what that next chapter is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and, you know, go Blue.
That'll wrap things up for this week's edition of Defend the Block. Again, thanks to Big Country for joining us. Such a great young man. We're rooting for him, and we'll try to get him on when he gets settled wherever that new basketball opportunity, if that is indeed the path that he goes, and it certainly seems like that is the plan, but we will try to catch up with him as his professional career develops. Thanks to Tom Weirot for his assistance in getting that organized, and thanks to you as well. We'll have a great edition of In the Trenches coming out on Thursday, and if you missed it, a championship version of Conquering Heroes. Bev Plocky talking about the Women's Gymnastics National Championship, and Ronnie Bernstein, Women's Tennis, talking about the Big Ten Regular Season Championship. Great edition of Conquering Heroes from Tuesday. You can get that where you get this. While you're looking at where you get this, we encourage you subscribe, rate, review. It does help us a great deal, and we thank you for any of those efforts that you can make. That's it for me, Brian Bush. Thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.